brother.
God.
What's up?
This is a good big party, man.
Yeah, brother.
I can dig it.
Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. How you doing, Connor? We can't hear you.
Said I'm doing all right. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's all right, man. You're living for the weekend, I take it.
Yep. I'm happy it's here, well, almost at least.
Yeah. What are the plans for the weekend, man?
Let's see,
Sandy. A young guy, 20 years old. I'm asking him what's. I can't hear you, Sandy. Let's see if we can hear you now, Sandy.
I don't think he wants to tell us.
All right. Here we are. We've got Sandy. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. When you asked a 20-year-old guy, what are his plans for the weekend? And he doesn't jump up bubbling. You say, hey, wait a minute. If you asked me at 20 years old what my plans were for the weekend, I would say, party!
No, if you asked me when I was 20 years old, I wouldn't tell you.
Wow.
You know, it was always, man, weekend, 20 years old. Man, the whole world is out there. And Sandy, you're free. Man.
Yeah.
It's kind of just a different kind of young guy. He's an old. You remember what they used to say about he's got an old spirit about him? Yeah, I think he's got an old spirit about him.
Yeah, I mean.
All right. I don't sell Connor short.
Yeah.
I'm not selling him short. Probably once he leaves here, he's going to be that 20-year-old guy with bright eyes and, you know.
No, I'm just tired. I've been here since 5. So
Maybe he's like a lot of 20-year-olds. He started his weekend on Thursday.
Yeah. Night. Yeah. Hey, every day's a weekend for me, pretty much.
So you've been here since 5. You're tired. Let's see.
Yeah, that's it.
He's been here since 5. That's 6, 7, 8. That's 3 hours. And you're tired already. You probably didn't get much sleep either, right?
I mean, I don't know. I usually don't get normal. Like regular until like 11 about.
Okay.
I'm just tired for the first 3 hours because I don't like drink coffee or anything.
Yeah.
I don't like, you know, drink like an energy drink.
Well, you know what, man?
I
didn't drink coffee until I was in my 30s. Sandy, you've been a coffee drinker as a young guy?
You know, I think you start drinking coffee probably like young people start smoking. It's fashionable. It doesn't taste good. It's not that good, but it's cool.
Yeah.
So I probably started drinking coffee while I was in college and probably didn't enjoy it that much.
Yeah. Well, you know, I started drinking coffee because I'd be on my way to work and I found out it opened your eyes, and so I'm not a big coffee drinker. I'll drink one cup of coffee a day. I drink it early in the morning when I first get up, and then that's it. Sandy, you drink coffee throughout the day?
No, I stopped drinking caffeine, and when I stopped using caffeine, I found out I didn't really like coffee, so I was doing the same. I was doing the same thing you were.
Yeah. Right. All right. So, I mean, a lot of things to talk about as always. Kind of gloomy outside and going to be that way for the balance of the day. But so many different things to talk about, Sandy. And, you know, I want to begin. No, I don't want to begin there. Because I don't want to jump right into the doom and gloom of the economy. But I'm going to do it anyway, Sandy. There are food lines again in this country. Soup lines. And you look and you see it. And yes, people are having trouble feeding their families again. That can't be a good harbinger, man, for Democrats as they move into this, 2022 midterm elections, can it?
Well, I mean, unemployment is still at basically an all-time low. So, you know, to the extent there are food lines, when you're unemployed, it doesn't matter how many people are unemployed if you are.
Right.
And I suspect that those are the people who are finding themselves in food lines. But with the increase in prices, I mean, the fact is that regardless of the cause of economic problems, when things are hurting economically, it tends to hurt the incumbent. And, you know, inflation was over 9% last month. So that is a skyrocketing level of inflation. And, you know, the politicians and the people who had a vested interest in not seeing inflation on the horizon were definitely closing their eyes to it a year ago, because all of the things were in place to cause it. And lots of them are not governmental, but at least we could have been more realistic about the fact that it was in the offing. The biggest problem right now for inflation is shortage. And you know, shortage is not something created by governments, other than maybe the warfare that it's helping to create some of the food shortages.
But Sandy, people are still spending. They're still buying. And so I thought that when you're in a climate like this, and historically people would not be spending and buying, they would be conserving.
Well, I think durable goods sales have gone down a bit since their peak. I think there's evidence that people are, but you know, one of the reasons for inflation is spiking so high is the cost of housing and the cost of energy, both of which are significant components of the breadbasket that's considered when we measure the consumer price index and inflation. So, you know, there's not much choice. That what they call the flexibility in demand for energy and for housing is pretty low. People are going to have to spend that money, and they're going to have to bid the price up if they want to buy it.
So, Sandy, are we now officially in recession? What is the official?
I think it's two quarters in a row. I don't think we're there, but I think everyone thinks that we're technically going to get there in the not too distant future. I think everyone thinks that recession is the unfortunate pill that solves inflation, and the more you look at it, the more you realize that some of the philosophers who doubted the viability of capitalism, it did have one thing right, which is that the business cycle tends to have the biggest impact on Tom, Dick, and Mary. People who have assets and can accumulate value on assets, you know, if you lose half your money, but you start out with $100 million, you still have $50 million. You don't feel as rich as you did last year, but you still got plenty of money. But if you don't have any assets and everything you purchase has gone up in price by 10 or 12%, you definitely feel poor, and you are poor.
You know, Sandy, so there's two different sides to the coin in this, and that's, as you talk about, the people who can withstand this and you know, they've already got nest eggs and this is basically much ado about nothing. They will survive it. And then the other side of the equation, the other side of the coin, is a tremendous number of people who are terrified right now.
Well, I mean, I think what you're going to identify is if you are living paycheck to paycheck, okay,
right,
which means that you're basically spending all the money that you bring home month to month, then inflation is going to hurt you because, you know, you are already spending all your money, and now the stuff that you're buying has gone up in price by 9%. So now you're 9% short. You know, now you have to start making decisions about what you buy, that begin to pinch you. So, you know, a very large percentage of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. We figured out that certainly you do if you earn the median income, which is $75,000, you're living paycheck to paycheck. That's half of the families in the United States. But then there were articles that suggest that families that earn two and even three times that median income still are likely to be living paycheck to paycheck.
So, Sandy, that's the segment of the population that right now is feeling this, and it hasn't even begun to sting yet. I mean, it's stinging somewhat, but we're looking down the road at the fact that it hasn't even been declared yet.
Well, I mean, the sting comes when jobs start shrinking, the number of jobs, and we don't have that effect yet. But inflation is going to take money out of everyone's pocket. Essentially, it makes their dollars worth less, and then the recession that is the pill that is either it is both caused by and the cure for inflation will start taking paychecks away from people too. So that's kind of a double whammy. We haven't experienced the second half of that whammy, but it's likely hanging out there.
So this article in today's Wall Street Journal, Wells Fargo quarterly profit declines 48%. Now, for most of us who, you know, or that doesn't affect us at all, but it is a major sign, right? I mean, 48% decline.
Well, financial institutions tend to ride a little bit of a different crest. However, financial institutions in periods of inflation can do quite well. It really depends on the demand for the products that they make money on and also the ways in which they might have been speculating and losing. I haven't looked at the breakdown of their earnings, but I suspect some of that involves losses they've experienced not in their commercial lending, but in other sectors of the banking.
But does that have impact on the overall system that we're talking about?
Not so much. There.
Okay. All right. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. You can join us. We'll be right back.